From WILL's Illinois Newsroom, this is 217 Today. I'm Farrah Anderson. It's Tuesday, December 12th. Coming up, we'll learn more about the struggle for kids to access inpatient mental health care in Northern Illinois. That story is coming up in just a few minutes. But first, these headlines. Illinois State Police are increasingly using clear and present danger reports to prevent people who may be a threat from having or getting firearms. Local police, school administrators, and mental health professionals can send state police a clear and present danger report if they believe someone may be a danger to themselves or others. State Police Director Brendan Kelly says the reports have been used more than 4,000 times so far this year to revoke firearm owners' ID cards and remove guns. Unlike other gun-related matters, he doesn't expect a constitutional battle over this one.
This is circumstances where people say, yes, obviously, this person is dangerous. They're homicidal, they're suicidal. They should not have access to firearms.
Kelly says state police now keep these reports, even if the person flagged doesn't have a FOID card or an application for one pending, in case they apply in the future. People being released from the Cook County Jail will be able to get a key resource on their way out the door, a free state ID. Mawa Iqbal has more.
County officials say there are about 2,300 people currently detained who don't have IDs, either because they didn't have one, they lost it, or it's being kept as evidence. Sadika Williams is with Safer Foundation, a Chicago nonprofit helping recently released people reintegrate into society. And she says it's nearly impossible to do that without an ID.
We have found that our participants, again, this is one of the top issues. We have to start here in order to get them housing that's going to stabilize them so that they can go get that job.
The Illinois Secretary of State's office is teaming up with the county to provide the free IDs. I'm Mawa Iqbal.
A $250,000 grant to help asylum seekers in Champaign County will be shared by three nonprofits. Illinois Student Newsroom's Stephanie Mosqueda has more on how the funding will be used.
The New American Welcome Center, the Refugee Center, and Cunningham Township are the three nonprofits receiving grants from the Illinois Department of Human Services. Janelle Gomez is the Community Relations Manager and Compliance Officer for the City of Champaign.
Individual people can't apply for this aid. It's going directly to the agencies to assist people. So they can go to any of these agencies to receive assistance, like housing, wraparound services, legal services, and food services.
Gomez says the amount of money from the state was based on the services the organizations provide and the number of people they serve. The grant will help provide services for an estimated 100 children and 200 adults. I'm Stephanie Mosqueda, Illinois Student Newsroom.
Still to come, we'll learn more about the struggle for kids to access inpatient mental health care in Northern Illinois. That story is next on 217 Today.
The 21st is where Illinois gathers for news, information, and daily conversation on politics, the pandemic, culture, and everything in between. I'm Brian Mackey, inviting you to join the conversation anytime, day or night, by leaving us a voicemail. The number is 217-300-2121, and we might play it on air. Then tune in Monday through Thursday at 11 a.m. on AM 580 and 6 p.m. on FM 90.9.
This is 217 Today. I'm Farrah Anderson. In late 2021, a coalition of some of the country's top pediatricians declared the youth mental health crisis a national emergency. Now, we have part two of Peter Medlin's Youth Mental Health series, this time focusing on the struggle for kids to access inpatient mental health care in Northern Illinois.
As a warning to listeners, this story talks about suicide. So if you or someone you know may be considering suicide, contact the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline at 1-800-273-8255. Na is 14 years old, and she loves science and is a talented artist. She's creative and loves gaming, too. And over the past few years, she's also had a number of severe mental health challenges. She's been hospitalized and ultimately landed in an inpatient facility in another state, hundreds of miles from her home. Her mom is Brittany Cotton of Rockford.
It's a terrifying time to try to get help, and more children
Advocates say that the number of kids requiring mental health services has skyrocketed with the pandemic. In Rockford, at the nonprofit Marshmallows Hope, for example, they currently have nearly 170 kids receiving services, and 90% of those children have attempted suicide. But people like Laura Kane, the founder of Marshmallows Hope, which provides youth mental health counseling and mentorship, says that while the need has increased, the number of community support services has not. There have been a few improvements, but overall, Kane sees the Northern Illinois community in worse shape now than before the pandemic, especially when it comes to inpatient services.
That's the number one need. We have nowhere for kids in our local community to go to an inpatient hospital stay if they're in high crisis like that.
Mercy Health closed their inpatient mental health unit at Javon Bay Hospital in Rockford. Medicaid doesn't often cover inpatient youth mental health services unless the child has a co-occurring substance use disorder. Rosecrans is a behavioral health treatment center in Rockford, and they used to have funding to help provide youth inpatient care without substance use. Sadie Cobio is the assistant administrator of community behavioral health services at Rosecrans, and she says a change in the center's funding source has made that more complicated.
So our residential services are specific to primary substance use, which honestly goes back to like the funding source. So Rosecrans is happy to provide the service for either. From a funding perspective, they really have to be primary substance use.
Kane at Marshmallows Hope says there also just aren't enough beds at hospitals like Swedish American either. So when a child is in crisis and needs to be hospitalized, even when they have a plan and the means, sometimes there's nowhere to send them. Amber Shepard is the engagement specialist with the Rockford Mobile Crisis Response Team, part of the National Youth Advocate Program. And she agrees with that.
We don't have really anywhere to send them to because resources are so limited.
Brittany Cotton says her daughter Na has been turned away because of a lack of beds, and it nearly happened again this year when she needed to be hospitalized because of her mental health.
We've been told that beds were completely full in like four different hospitals when Swedish American would check. They were always full, always full. So we got lucky this year. We got lucky to get her in because every other year they were completely full.
Her daughter was in the hospital for about 2 weeks. And after she was released, Cotton knew that she needed the full-time support of a residential center. And without inpatient services available locally, Cotton, like so many, was forced to explore sending her daughter to an out-of-state facility. But to do that, she not only needed to figure out which one she could pay for and which was the best equipped to handle her daughter and was in a place that she felt somewhat comfortable with, they also had to deal with even more wait lists. Once again, it took months. And trying to work out which facility might work for your child's needs, it's really hard. In general, Cotton says maneuvering between services and making sure everyone knows the medications her daughter's on and what the diagnoses are, it's a huge burden on parents and caregivers. And she says making sure agencies, insurance companies, and hospitals have the right documents can feel like a full-time job in and of itself. And it's on top of the stress and worry about her daughter's well-being.
As a parent, you will have to do paperwork as if you're going to be facing a criminal case. I swear you do.
And after months of waiting and after time in the hospital, she finally got Na into a residential center a few months ago. It's in Missouri, hours away from her family and her friends.
We get a 10-minute conversation at night, nightly, if I'm lucky.
And it hasn't been a great experience, but it is round-the-clock support. And Cotton says they've been told Na will be home in 6 months, but she's not sure. And when she does get back, she knows her daughter will still need support. She's still just a teenager. And while she's grateful for the community organizations she's found during this journey, she thinks more people should know about what services are available. And Cotton says there needs to be a lot more investment in youth mental health resources for both kids and their families. Because whether that investment comes or not, the youth mental health crisis isn't ending anytime soon. I'm Peter Medlin.
And finally, in your forecast, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard says today will be sunny with a high of 45 degrees. That's it for today. Reporting today contributed by Alex Degman, Mala Iqbal, Stephanie Mosqueda, and Peter Medlin. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Farrah Anderson. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening, stay safe, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.